Good morning, everyone. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers for the invitation to this wonderful meeting and for the honor of the Monday morning talk. And thank you, Bob, for this beautiful introduction. Fits very well. I want to show you some results about iron selenide under pressure, which is a beautiful example of intertwined phases, I believe, and which we've just discovered over the past 2 or 3 years. So I don't remember 1988, but this was 2014 onwards. This has been a collaboration at Ames Lab, my group with Paul Canfield, with the crystal growth and characterization. Then an intense scattering effort in the group of Andreas Kresik and Alan Goldman, in particular Karunaka Kotsapali, who's done all this pressure cell work. And we've worked with Makari and Ruslan on the ambient pressure. So the experimentalist dream, yes, I think so. We've got a huge variety of iron-based materials in all these slightly different structures. The iron chalcogenides 1-1, we have single sheets of iron and then chalcogenides, selenium in my case, atoms. We can have the 1-2-2 iron arsenides, which are particularly well studied, and many others. And there is a significant part of the periodic table we can use. So I will discuss iron selenide and compare it to 1-2-2 systems, which we can substitute on all sides with various elements, and this gives us a lot of very interesting phase diagrams. Let me start with the simplest one. How do we get superconductivity? For example, we take barium iron arsenide, one of the most commonly studied, substitute with phosphorus. We have at the parent compound, no substitution at tetragonal to orthorhombic, paramagnetic to antiferromagnetic transition with this coupling. So our stride type antiferromagnetism, we suppress it and we get a superconducting dome. The lattice distortion and the stride type antiferromagnetism are obviously related by symmetry. We have this direction and this direction different. Then we go one step further. This is the cobalt doped phase diagram, which we've already seen just now in the introduction. It's been a while. We know we have two transitions, two steps. We first become orthorhombic or pneumatic. We break our rotational symmetry and then we order magnetically. And we suppress both and we get superconductivity. So far, so good. This pneumatic phase is seen as lattice distortion, but also as IB anisotropy and plane anisotropy in basically everything we can measure. So whenever we see anisotropy, we say it's pneumatic. And I will use the lattice distortion as a proxy for pneumaticity. And the coupling between orthorhombic distortion and magnetic order is very clear. For example, in this system, beautifully one can see the magnetic back reflection here, magnetic intensity and orthorhombic distortion follow each other perfectly in this coupled transition case. In the split case, we see orthorhombic distortion onset when we cross the first line, and we see it jump again through the coupling when we cross the second line here. Very beautiful, and we've known it for a while now. What's a little newer is this magnetic C4 phase, which Bob alluded or introduced in the introduction. So this has been seen first reported in 2014. We see when we cool down this material, orthorhombic phase, and then at low temperature, a tetragonal phase again, which remains magnetically ordered. So these are magnetic reflections. So we have this little dome here of a tetragonal magnetic phase. And then there is this beautiful Mössbauer data where we have it's a local probe for magnetism. And what we see is that half of the iron sites have a hyperfine field, half of them don't. So what happened? And why is it tetragonal? So what we understood is we have actually a superposition of two so stride phases. And I make this approximate. We add two of them. We get a tetragonal phase. Half the iron sites have no moment. Half have high moment. And actually, they're all along the C-axis. So we are perfectly tetragonal and magnetically ordered. So here's a double Q phase. And this, turns out, occurs in a lot of systems. And it's the hold of 1-2-2 so far. So we have a 1-2-2 type structure. We have an alkaline earth, calcium, strontium, barium. We dope with sodium on that side. And every time, we get the C4 phase. Every single time. When we dope with potassium for the barium, we get it as well. It's tiny, but it's there. When we put this same thing under pressure, it actually grows quite a bit. So it's not something tiny. It's really there, and it gets stronger under pressure. And then when we look really closely at the barium sodium, we've just seen that, we see there's even more. There's this C4 magnetic phase, and there's another one. So really a lot going on here. And unpublished data, strontium sodium goes into that direction as well. Okay, we've been these three with sodium, all that, potassium, barium, here. Calcium, potassium makes a different crystal structure. So here, nature tells us, the crystal doesn't dope, it segregates. We get layers of potassium, layers of calcium. It's a different symmetry, it's a 1144 structure, and when we dope that with cobalt and nickel on the iron side in that case, we end up with another magnetic phase, which is here in our phase diagram, and it turns out to look like that. So this is a hedgehog spin vortex crystal. It's also a double Q state, and when you look closely, we have these alternating all-in, all-out patterns, a little hedgehog, and I encourage you to read up on it very recently. This is a really interesting phase. So the question I ask myself is, what is the relationship between all these different kinds of phase diagrams, which are on the first sight similar, but on the second sight, no, they're not similar. And then comes the iron selenide puzzle. So this is the pressure-temperature phase diagram of iron selenide, and we thought it's very different, right? We have now an orthorhombic phase which is suppressed while magnetism is stabilized. So what's the relation between structural distortion and magnetism here? And this was the questions I set out to answer. The reason why iron selenide is kind of slow coming into the family of the materials that are studied intensively is that it's really hard to make single crystals because one needs to prepare them at low temperatures for crystal growth. And it turns out this can be done using vapor transport at like below 400 centigrade. One puts the elements in an ampule, puts the ampule under a temperature gradient. Temperature gradient can be created by just having one end of my ampule sticking out of a furnace, so it's colder here, and I can see the crystals grow. And they turn out to be beautiful, and it can be large. And when we measure resistance, we see a transition here. Quite subtle, but it's there. Look at low temperature, and we can see domains. So you see these little striped things here, which disappear at 90 Kelvin. So here we see the tetragonal to orthorhombic transitions. And there's four types of domains that can form. In diffraction, this gives us four Bragg reflections. And along four domains. And along this direction, that's the orthorhombic distortion. That's my proxy for nematic order parameter. And I can see a beautiful second order structural phase transition here. If I compare with 1-2-2, barium 1-2-2, cobalt or barium 1-2-2, it's similar in magnitude, similar in shape. It's the same symmetry, same sort of distortion. Let's go on. There was talk about nematic susceptibility with various ways of measuring it. We compared the two systems using elastic modulus. Looks similar. Looking at elastoresistivity, iron selenide barium 1-2-2 looks similar. Looking at the electronic Raman response, iron selenide barium 1-2-2 looks similar. Divergence in this 110 tetragonal direction. It's all pneumatic. A note of warning, looks like the pneumatic order in iron selenide is more complex. So this has emerged over just very recent months in ARFIS experiments that we get a momentum-dependent orbital order and a sort of missing peanut, part of the electron Fermi surface, just is not seen in the D-twin samples, and we are puzzling about that. But what I was really interested in is iron selenide under pressure. And this has taken a few years. So this is one of the first results, and it's already spectacular. We can see we start tetragonal, cool down orthorhombic, superconducting. Apply pressure, TC goes up from about 8 Kelvin to almost 40. It's huge. We're all surprised. We go further, And there's some sort of structure phase transition to something that's labeled hexagonal here. And we didn't really know what happens to the tetragonal to orthorhombic transition. This is pressure. Yes, this is pressure this way. They are all temperature pressure phase diagrams now. We learned, next step was there is some magnetism here. NTC, this is a superconducting transition, has some structure because with this minimum here. Go a little bit further. It was 2014 until we knew what happens to the structural pneumatic transition under pressure. We learned it goes down surprisingly. NTC actually has these three-step-like pressure dependence. So we still didn't know what's going on. Go a little bit further. So finally, we know what both structure and magnetism do in the same sample, same system. And we confirm structure goes down, magnetic order is induced under pressure. Magnetic order actually forms a dome. And here we see the third step of TC is where the end of magnetic order is. And there's microscopic data. This is NMR, for example. We see really this phase is orthorhombic. This is magnetically ordered. And this looks like orthorhombic magnetic down here. That's where we started. And what we did, what we wanted to do was look at magnetic order and the structure of iron selenate under pressure in diamond anvil cells using helium as pressure medium. So we are as hydrostatic as we can be. We did synchrotron-based high-energy X-ray diffraction for the structure, and we did this time-domain Mössbauer spectroscopy, or nuclear forward scattering, to get some insight on the magnetism. And this is an example of our temperature-pressure data points. So we typically choose a pressure cool-down, measure temperature-dependent, another pressure, another pressure, another pressure. And that's my phase diagram. And I will guide you through that one in the next couple of slides. So what we do, I will show you magnetic transitions and magnetic hyperfine field, structure transitions, which are red here, how orthorhombic distortion and magnetism is related, and then this final structure transition up here. So let's start with magnetism. We did this nuclear forward scattering because the iron moment is really small. Our pressures of a couple of gigapascals are really challenging for neutron scattering. So there's not much you can do to get a microscopic magnetic probe. But that one works. For example, at low pressure here, this is our raw data. This is counts, resonance, scattered photons versus delay time. And we see these beats. And the location, the shape of the spectra, in particular the location of these beats, is determined, among other parameters, by the magnetic hyperfine field. So we see a shift, and with analysis, we can extract the magnetic hyperfine field here. See magnetic transition beautifully down here. Go up in pressure. We see now a more abrupt shift here between 20 and 24 Kelvin, magnetic transition. Little more, our transition temperature moves up. Little more, there's our transition, very sharp now. And a little more. And there's a magnetic transition. There's a shift of the spectra here. So that's, and the hyperfine field is of the order of a few tesla. So by conversion, this is a few tenths of mu Bohr per iron. Then we looked at structure. So again, out of our tetragonal reflection split, that's our orthorhombicity at ambient pressure. We have a beautiful second order tetragonal to orthorhombic phase transition, which gets suppressed under pressure. And when we cross that line here, we see an increase in splitting, an increase in orthorhombicity. We go further, we see this transition here, and it's actually a structural one as well as a magnetic one. We go further in pressure, this transition goes up. So what we see here is a cooperative coupling between magnetic order and orthorhombic distortion. Distortion goes up at the magnetic transition, and then we see a joint magnetostructure transitions at these higher pressure range here. And then we go a little bit higher in pressure range. We see, again, structural transition here. We go further and we start seeing something at very low at low temperature here, close to our base temperature. We go further and we see very clear this tetragonal to orthorhombic back to tetragonal. And we go a little further, we are tetragonal all the way. So this reminds us of something, right? very similar. So let me compare in detail. What do we have in iron selenide under pressure? We look at orthorhombic distortion, magnetic order at low pressure, this is zero, no magnetic order. Starts to onset, that's where we see this jump in orthorhombic distortion. We go higher in pressure, that's middle panel here, we see a joint magnetostructural transition. We go again a little bit higher in pressure, we see this orthorhombic distortion going down, being suppressed with this sort of structural reentrance and then nothing. We still see magnetic hyperfine field. Another way of presenting now is hyperfine field versus pressure and temperature, orthorhombic distortion versus pressure and temperature. I have the phase diagram down here. I see this magnetic hyperfine field come up with pressure. I see the orthorhombic distortion first go down with pressure, then being sort of pulled up by the presence of a hyperfine field, probably, and get suppressed while there's still some hyperfine field there. And this is the end. We already knew that in high pressure in iron selenide, there's a transition from this layered structure to a more three-dimensional one. And when we look at our phase diagram here, and we look at our diffraction patterns, when we go to high pressure, our diffraction pattern changes. That's this transition, color-coded here. Every time we cross this line in brown here, that's the other phase. Then we are no longer layered iron selenide. And this is irreversible. So these are four different cells, and every time we're in, we can get back. That's it. You can see the evolution here. We see the phase fraction of this new phase. It's quite sharp. So at 7.7 GPA, we are done. Let me compare and let me explain my claim of universality. So we have pressure-tuned iron selenide, and we have our barium 122 as prototypical iron arsenide, electron-doped or cobalt-substituted to the left, hole-doped or sodium-substituted to the right. And I want to say there are a lot of similarities, especially if we look at the magnetic and structural properties and at the ground states. So we start on the left here with orthorhombic paramagnetic, both cases. We go orthorhombic magnetically ordered with a structural transition above the magnetic one. We go further, we find this joint transitions, orthorhombic magnetic ground state, and then we seem to have a tetragonal magnetic ground state again, both cases. We can even go a little bit further and look at orthorhombic distortion versus temperature, my mnemonic order parameter. We start with a second order transition. We go further, we see this cooperative coupling in both cases. Once it's here, we see actually the magnetic transition go from second order here, first order here, what was mentioned in the introduction. The same thing happens in iron selenide. The first order range is quite small, but we can resolve it. We saw it. We see a second order transition here. We see a first order magnetic transition below the structural one there. It's also a tri-critical point. We see the joint one, and then we have in both cases this reentrant behavior. So similar temperature dependence of orthorhombic distortion. And if you wonder about this purple phase here, dilatometry in that case told us there is a tiny little bit of orthorhombic distortion. It's nothing we can hope to see under pressure in diffraction. We need some other technique for that. And finally, let me mention superconductivity. Here we saw this very clear feedback of or competition of superconductivity and orthorhombic distortion or magnetic order or nemeticity. This decrease of nemeticity inside the superconducting phase, we don't see it in iron selenide. If it's there, it's tiny. So if I have the half minute, a few comments about superconductivity in iron selenide. I don't think we know a lot under pressure. First of all, we never saw a measurable change of distortion at TC in iron selenide under pressure. We are not even sure whether superconductivity here is bulk or not. There have been some reports or rumors that it might not even coexist microscopically with magnetic order here. If this is a single superconducting phase, the TC just responds to all the other phases above, could be. We don't know even, but if this is the case, maybe we could imagine something similar here. There's some superconductivity, which then responds to the other orders. And I'm not the only, or not the first person to think of something like this. There have been ideas that maybe there's one single superconducting dome in the iron-based systems that is tuned through this way. So with this, let me conclude. We have seen, or we know, that orthorhombic stripe-type antiferromagnetic order is common in iron-based systems. However, there are phases with nematicity, structural distortion, with no magnetic order, and phases with magnetic order without structural distortion. And we think we've found both of those exceptions in iron selenide. We can reach them by using a single continuous tuning parameter, which is pressure. So my question would be, does this left side, this nematicity stripe-type magnetic order, have a special role, or is it rather our double Q phase, which is usually where the TC is even higher than on the left side? So thank you very much.
Thank you for this, which was like a tour de force, covering all the phases that I showed in all of these different experiments.
Yeah, thank you for the great introduction.
We could go as a team. Questions starting now?
So I have two questions. First is, what do we know about the correlation length of magnetic order under pressure? Do you know it is long-range ordered, or could it be short-range?
Well, it's static on the time scale of Mohs power spectroscopy.
Okay.
That's what we can say.
But length scale-wise? I'm not talking about dynamics, but length scale.
I cannot give you a number. We see it static.
All right. Another question is, what do you know about the electronic structure under pressure?
Well, there is have been reports of quantum oscillations under pressure in this low pressure range here. So they see a reconstruction of Fermi surface across this blue line. What I indicate is a blue line here. You lose a lot of your Fermi surfaces. You only keep one oscillation frequency. So you lose a lot of your Fermi surface there. And that's all that's known.
And is there any hope of doing ARPES to see
under pressure?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
You showed that under pressure, it seems that this tetragonal, the C4 phase, is the leading instability, right? I don't have to cross a C2 phase. And I know that it's under pressure, so it's hard, but it looks that it's pretty continuous, the magnetic transition. In this case, I would expect to have a second or higher temperature phase transition, similar to the pneumatic, but with a different kind of vestigial order. Again, knowing that it's pressure and it's hard, is there any possible hint of another phase, that phase transition that happens there?
Okay, we have not seen any. Let me address first the point I wanted to make. We cannot be sure whether we see really this pure C4 phase or something which could be equivalent to this one.
But for your X-rays,
we see it tetragonal, but we couldn't resolve something like that if it was there.
You put one slide saying that pneumatic order and iron selenium is special.
Yes.
Mostly citing ARPES.
Yes.
Is it because we only have data for this material, or you really can compare with others and say that it's special compared to others?
We have data on the challenge is to get ARPES data in the purely pneumatic phase on, say, 1-2-2s or sodium iron arsenide. Mm-hmm. And there does exist.
So in this respect, we don't know whether it's different from other materials or not.
I do think it's different, but we probably need to look more carefully. But it has been orbital, ferroorbital order in all but iron selenide, at least the
how
semantics.
We know this?
That's what I remember from ARPES.
So in the barium system, you established a nice plot of the pneumatic fluctuation intensity using dilatometry.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if there's anything analogous for the iron selenide system, either under pressure or
there was a
or sulfur doping.
Under pressure, there was a report at the March meeting, which I haven't seen published, of Raman under pressure, which can be done. And this Raman susceptibility, which scales with the elastic things. So that did diverge here. You saw this the softening, but quantitatively, I don't know. But yeah, that would be something that can be done under pressure, and that's the, I guess, best hope for us.
Thank you. Anna, just a small comment. You mentioned that the T4 phase was discovered in 2014, but really, you know, it was discovered in 2018 by Elena Hassinger.
2013, actually, it's true. Yes.
2012, sorry. 2012.
Yes, no, that's true.
Yeah. I got my numbers wrong.
No, no, no. Of course,
so
it's true.
In 2012, she, yes, by Elena Hassinger, yes, she was a postdoc in my group.
No, no, that's true. She saw the transition, and we were excited at the time.
Yeah.
And she showed how this expands under pressure. So this is
that's
really
right.
Beautiful. Yes.
So it was really 2012.
You showed a number of phase diagrams earlier in the talk that were very complex. Then you focused on these two and argued that there's they're sort of universal phase diagram of the iron-based superconductors. Could you comment on how those other phase diagrams are related to the larger picture of iron-based superconductors?
Okay. So I have focused on 1-2s because they're more studied. First of all, I would say all of these holdouts on my alkaline earth site, they all have close to this point where the striped magnetic order suppressed something else going on, tendency to WQ tetragonal magnetic phases. Whether it's barium, strontium, or calcium, whether it's sodium or potassium doped. So in that direction, this is not the only one. In this direction, cobalt, nickel, electron doped on the iron side, they all look similar to this. And then there is probably another parameter which tells me whether these transitions split up more or less or not at all. For example, if you start with calcium here, then these transitions will not split and superconductivity will not coexist. But yeah, there's one more dimension, there's at least one more dimension in addition to this axis, of course.
And you may recall my opening remarks, I showed that the potassium iron selenide system as a function of potassium has a completely different kind of phase diagram, and also showed in the 111 system that rather than this interpenetration, that there's a first order phase transition separating the antiferromagnetic and pneumatic phase from the superconducting phases. So this is an elegant and beautiful universality between these two classes of systems that she said, but there's more to this. These classes of materials than just this. So actually the timing is perfect to 30 seconds. So thank you.
Thank you.